Let's celebrate the magic of short stories and poems. They are truly magical, aren't they? They make us feel happiness, heartbreak, horror, hope, hatred, and so much more. Namaste, people. Welcome to Shweta's Basket, a weekly stories and poems podcast, and I'm your host, Shweta Singh. And here we are back with the concluding episode of Holy Cow, written by Sarvesvari Sai Krishna. If you're here for the first time, then to better enjoy this story, I urge you to listen to the previous episode, which was the first part of it. As a recap, I'm rereading the last para and then moving on forward from there. While the MLA pondered over the matter in his air-conditioned office, a brilliant algebraic calculation crossed his mind. If X were the rains and Y were the frogs, he observed how X increased Y. So if X increased Y, then the converse should hold water. To put in layman terms, if the number of frogs was increased, that would proportionately increase the chances of rains. Amidst the thunderous clapping of civil servants, the MLA promised to implement the policy right away. What better way to do it other than joining two amorous amphibians in holy matrimony? Two government officers of excellent repute were deputed to find unwitting frogs that had so far enjoyed the perks of being single and carefree. After many rejections based on looks, skin color, and possible virility, the bride and the groom were selected and wedded in a very orthodox ceremony. It had been a year since the webbed couple had happily hopped into the setting sun. But zilch. Maybe the frogs were toads? Or maybe they consummated their marriage the unpious way without the aid of tears? For some inexplicable reason, pregnant clouds never peeked into the area. After mulling over the matter during this monsoon season, it was unanimously agreed that the frogs were unclean. To appease the gods, one needed to marry off something more sacred. And what is more sacred than a cow? Right. As before, a thorough background check was conducted on the goat of the cattle. The bride was from the same village, and the bull was zeroed in after meticulous screening. The MLA personally oversaw the marriage preparation. Bands were engaged for the after-marriage party. A lavish feast that included the local brew was to follow. The auspicious day and time finally arrived today. But something unfortunate had occurred. The bridegroom bull, who was strutting his stuff until yesterday, went missing thanks to a loosely tethered rope. Cold hooves, I reasoned. The mood in the village turned somber. The MLA, upset over the turn of events, ordered to find a replacement as soon as possible. Just as the villagers and civil servants were wringing their hands helplessly, I had entered the village. My arrival was hailed as God's approval of their plans. The village headman explained the situation to my Ma and Pa. As the bride carried on chewing her cud nonchalantly, I stole a glance towards my soon-to-be missus. She was a bit on the bonier side. I preferred mine well-rounded. Well, I had an obligation to the community, and my personal preferences had to take the back seat. My clever Ma saw this as her opportunity to negotiate my dowry. After reasonable haggling, matters were settled and the wedding was to take place as planned. Sporting an ornamental headgear and bells around my neck, I was taken to the village center where the ceremony was to be conducted. I jingled to attract the attention of my bovine beauty. I'm sure she checked me out slyly, but continued to chew her grub as if she did not care. For someone her size, she charmed a lot. Now I knew the reason why my predecessor took off in such a hurry. I was already worried about losing half my earnings on a gargantuan appetite. At the ceremony, a gentleman who sat near the sacred fire was talking to the gods in their language. Sanskrit, I thought, appealing to them to make our union a successful one. Just then, I sensed a tingling feeling in the gut. I was quite thrilled about my turn of luck, good food and a wife to boot. Alas, in my excitement, I continued to ignore my full bladder. The tingling soon turned into a nuisance. People around me drinking yellowish ginger soda did not help the cause. I mooed to get my Ma's attention. But she just did not know and continued to quench her thirst in long gulps. I tried everything from crossing my hind limbs tightly to chanting, "You can do it, you can hold on." But my bladder refused to listen to my pep talk. Finally, I turned to my companion, uttered a rather elegant, "Excuse moi," before I opened the floodgates. As if on cue, my companion let her guard down and let it flow too. Between us, we managed to make a puddle big enough to swamp the gentleman at our feet. That was probably the only time my missus and I agreed on something. I didn't know why, but our business made the villagers very happy and they broke into a rapturous celebration. "The gods have blessed us! They have shown us mercy!" they screamed. The wedding was carried on with renewed faith, but only after customary bottling of the bodily fluids. I wonder why Mrs.'s is holier than mine and how they would ever know the difference. But the gods were indeed happy with the union. But the dark clouds were rolling towards us and in a matter of few hours it rained. Nay, it poured. From that year on, there were fewer monsoonal disappointments and soon the rain gods became a regular in the area again. Nobody knew why. Was it the new collector who was strict with the mining and deforestation laws? Or was it the villagers who started a green drive to plant a sapling for every tree that fell? Or was it the MLA's other scandalous calculations that led to his eventual arrest? all said and done, my role in appeasing the rain god could never be undermined. My parents, who settled in the village for good, were revered for bringing in the lucky mascot, and they spent their later life in reasonable comfort as cattle breeders. Now, dear reader, if you are wondering what kind of a bullshit urine story this is, well, it's a 2000 and the odd worded story of two people whose journey was interrupted due to a vehicle breakdown. I humbly apologize if I have offended your delicate sensibilities in any way. As for my missus and I, we sired a good-for-nothing who in turn sired many more of that kind. Probably got it from the missus's side of the family. And we lived happily ever after. Yes, yes, I told you she's a super writer, did I not? When I had read the story for the very first time, I was so impressed that I wanted one of my stories to be part of an anthology of this caliber, an anthology where such stories were printed. The Hawk series, of which Holy Cow is a part, is actually a trilogy. The first book in that trilogy is titled Hawk's Nest. And I really wanted that at least one of my stories should be a part of their next book, The Hawk's Flight. And I did it, yes! When the second book came, I had my story in it, and it's titled Atka. It's about this Malamute cub who's on the cusp of adulthood and his first great outdoor adventure. Maybe one day I will read it for you guys. It was my first experimentation with non-linear narration, and I had worked really hard on it. I'm really, really proud of that particular story. Anyway, we were talking about the Hawks series. Well, this series is published by Artoons in Room 9 Publications. They are a traditional publishing house founded by Mithru Rachmala and Husna Taslim after their thumping success at creating the Artoons in Writer's Room. Room 9 had published its first book titled Hiraeth in August 2019, authored by Dr. Shivani Salil. The book has reached a lot of milestones in the last 2.5 years. Artoons in Room 9 looks for content that is unique and suitable for a global audience. Room 9's recent release, Girl in a Million, by Anita Padnatil, has sold over 1,000 copies within the first 3 months of its release and has over 100 reviews on Amazon. So do check out the website artoonsin.com for more from this amazing community of writers, poets, photographers, foodies, and publisher. Okay, now let's move on to our one question section. Last week I asked you, what was the color of the liquid that Pa mixed in the gruel? The right answer is pink. And the right answers were sent to us by Vasudhaji and Lata. Thank you, ladies, for DMing your answers. Now let's move on to the one question for this week. Which animal or amphibian was chosen for holy matrimony before the sacred cow? Now, as you know, sending your answer is super easy and fast. DM me on Facebook or Instagram. My handle is Shweta's Basket. Or email your answer to shweta@shwetasbasket.com. And guys, that brings me to the end of this episode. And if you enjoyed it, then please follow or like the podcast and use the link in the show notes to visit the website and leave a comment. Rate us. Yes, guys, please do rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Share and recommend us to your friends. Shweta's Basket is available on 19 different podcast platforms as well as YouTube. In the meantime, This is your host, Shweta Singh, signing off. Till we meet again on the air next Friday. Bye for now. Do you want to have a website of your own? Are you a writer, photographer, actor, makeup artist, hairstylist, or even a tutor, singer, painter, journalist, consultant? Or do you have your own cafe, restaurant, resort, holiday home, shop, small business, hospital, or even a blog, WordPress, or Blogspot account that you want to migrate to a good-looking website? Well, look no further. The geeks will help you, and you will find them in the Geeks Room at Artunzen. Just click on the link in the episode description. Yes, it's that simple to have a website. My website is hosted and managed by them. And want to know what I love about them? They are professional, customer pleasers, straight talkers, and very competently priced. So what are you waiting for? Your website is just a click away.